This week's Dvar Torah is sponsored L'Ilui Nishmas Gittel Baser B'chaim Sulami and L'Schus, the engagement of Menachem Mendel Perlstein to Miriam Mushka Perlov, and in honor of the birth of Chaya Esther Broud, and in honor of the birth of Miriam Mushka Bronstein, that her parents should raise her L'Torah L'Chupa L'Maisen Tovim B'teich Archova B'gashmis V'ruchnias. The learning of the Dvar Torah is L'Schus Reb Sholom Mordechai Levi Ben Rivka for Gula Kroiva Min Meitzar El HaMerchav. This week we will discuss the idea of standing elevated. Shlomo HaMelech writes that a person should be occupied, tishke, with his love for Torah. The Chachamim explained that this tremendous love of Torah should cause one to make mistakes, shoigeg, from the Lashon of tishke, and drop all his affairs in order to run and learn Torah. Yet the Torah will look after the person and cause him to find favor in the eyes of others. The Gemara describes how Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas would be totally involved with his learning, that he would sit and study Torah in the lower market of Tzipori without realizing that he had left his cloak in the upper market of Tzipori. It occurred once that someone attempted to steal Rabbi Elazar's cloak from the upper market, and he found it protected by a poisonous snake. Once, while deeply engrossed in his learning, Rava placed his hands under his feet, crushing his fingers until they began to bleed. Yet, being completely absorbed in his learning, he did not feel a thing. A nearby apikoiris ridiculed him. "You rash people, similar to the way you accepted the Torah without knowing its difficulty." Rava replied, "We follow Hashem with innocence and Hashem protects us." The Rebbe derives from here that one's approach to Torah should not be logical and calculated, rather unreserved with total dedication. Once during the winter, Rabbi Yosef of Lubavitch traveled in a horse-drawn sled on a dangerously slippery and bumpy path. The sled shook violently and swayed from side to side, eventually causing Rabbi Yosef to fall overboard into the snow. Unfortunately, the driver did not notice and continued on without him, and Rabbi Yosef, immersed in deep concentration, felt not a thing of the freezing snow in which he was sitting. A while later, a group of chassidim passed by and saw Rabbi Yosef sitting in the snow. When asked what he was doing there, he looked surprised and replied, "I am on my way to Lubavitch." He didn't even realize that he fell off the sled. Two chassidim once traveled to the city in order to purchase merchandise for their respective shops. Having arrived, one of them reached into his pocket to remove the list of merchandise for which he had come, but instead he accidentally removed the Maimer Chassidus and began to learn from it. The other chassid, having noticed that his friend was holding a Maimer, came over, and he too was soon peering intently at the paper that his friend was holding. So steeped were they in the Maimer that they completely forgot where they were and that they had come to buy merchandise. They remained immersed in the learning until the store owner wanted to close up and was forced to drag them outside, where they stood and continued learning the Maimer. There was once a chassid who lived in seclusion and spent his time serving Hashem. Eventually, he returned to civilization and became a shamish in a shul where no one recognized his greatness. Once the Rav saw the shamish filling the lamps in the shul as some of the oil spilled over the side. The Rav recognized that this was not out of clumsiness, but out of dveikus and kavana. He informed the kehila of the man's greatness and told them, "This shamish should really be the Rav, and I should serve under him." The Friedrich Rebbe related, "While in Vienna, we, the Friedrich Rebbe and his father, the Rebbe Rashab, stayed in adjacent rooms with an open door in between. It was around 5 o'clock in the afternoon when my father gave me a certain manuscript to copy while he sat down on the sofa, placing one foot on the sofa and the other on the ground. I approached him a number of times and saw that he was sitting motionless with his eyes open. He sat this way until 3:45 in the morning. He then woke up, took his watch, and stared at it in utter disbelief, walked over to the window and said, 'It seems like it is already nightfall, and it is time to daven maitiv.' I then revealed to him that almost the entire night had already passed, and I even had to remind him which day we were in, as he was completely removed from this world. On the following day, I found him writing a lofty concept in Chassidus in his notebook, and seemingly that is what he had been engrossed with the night before, which some say was the basis of the Hemshech Ayin Beis." The Rebbe spoke of how it is possible, even in our times, for one to reach some degree of kalos hanefesh. When one delves deeply into something, he can reach a point where he does not notice what is happening around him. The Rebbe then related the following. Once, the Mojitzer Rebbe fell ill and traveled to Berlin to visit the doctors there. The doctor said that the Rebbe is in need of an operation, but they are afraid that in his weak state he will not be able to handle the pain. This was in the days before anesthesia. Hearing this, the Majitzer Rebbe suggested that they allow him to sing a niggun and wait until he is fully absorbed in it and then operate on him, for he will feel nothing. The doctors did as he said, and everything went smoothly. The Chosid Rebbe Yankel Kedana related, while traveling with the Mittler Rebbe on one of his journeys, we stopped over in the city of Krislava. On our second night there, the Rebbe said an incredible mimer, the likes of which none of the Chassidim have ever heard. After hearing the mimer, we chazered it and then went to eat. Upon finishing the meal, the Rebbe's Mesharis rushed over and told me that now would be a good opportunity to gaze at the Rebbe's face. Knowing how the Rebbe in his humility did not like it, I hesitated. But the Mesharis said, "Do not worry, he will not see you at all." I followed the Mesharis to the Rebbe's room, and when he opened the door, I saw the Rebbe standing in the center of the room, motionless, his face flaming and his eyes wide open. Shocked, I jumped back, but the Mesharis grabbed my sleeve and said aloud, "You have nothing to fear. He is now in the Ruchniyistic worlds and will not hear or see anything." "How do you know?" I questioned, knowing him to be a simple man. "This is not the first time that I have seen him this way," he replied. I stood at the doorway looking to make out any movement, but the Mittler Rebbe remained still, unaware of the people walking about the house. I stood there from 10 o'clock at night until 3 in the morning, when the Mesharis had the table set for the Rebbe to eat, as the Rebbe had not eaten the entire day. A helper then approached the Rebbe with a quart of water for the Rebbe to wash his hands, but the Rebbe did not move. The Mesharis tugged the Rebbe's sleeve, asking the Rebbe to wash, but the Rebbe turned away and walked to a wall, standing immobile as before. Being that I could no longer see the Rebbe's face, I left for the night. The following day, the Mesharis related to me that the Rebbe had continued to stand that way until 4 o'clock, and then with great simcha had sat down at the table on his own. The Rebbe revealed that during the previous day's Maimer, his father, the Alter Rebbe, had come to him along with the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid, and they had praised the Maimer tremendously. After saying the Maimer, he had repeated it for the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe had revealed to him great secrets of the Torah. This had occurred while he had stood motionless the previous night and was the cause of his unusual simcha. A certain Melamed wanted to go into business, so he went to seek counsel by the Alter Rebbe and by one of the Polish Tzaddikim. The Alter Rebbe advised him not to become a businessman, yet when he traveled to the other Tzaddik, he was told that he should indeed go into business. When he informed the Tzaddik of the Alter Rebbe's opinion, the Tzaddik exclaimed, "Zalmenu veisnet de kavona. Nit nitvelt, nor velt un oisvelt." Zalmenu, as the Alter Rebbe was called by the Talmidim of the Mezritcher Magid, knows not the true kavana. One must not behave in a manner of no world. Rather, while being involved in worldly matters, one must nevertheless stay above the world. When the Melamed returned to the Alter Rebbe and related his exchange with the Polish Tzaddik, the Alter Rebbe said, "This would have been true if you were a businessman and you wanted to become a Melamed, for this would demonstrate that even in world of business, you know that there is no world, hence the desire to become a Melamed." But the Alter Rebbe concluded, "In your case, you want to go into business." Reb Shmuel Michel Treinen from the city of Peterburg was a very wealthy man and had acquaintances amongst high-reigning ministers in the Russian government. By nature, Reb Shmuel Michel was always neat and well-groomed, and in addition had a most somber and serious personality. So of course he was very particular that his clothing be buttoned appropriately, each button in the right hole. Once Reb Michel Berliner, also known as Michel the Alter, arrived in Peterburg to intercede on behalf of a certain yeshiva bacher that he be released from army service, thus being able to continue learning Torah undisturbed. Reb Shmuel Michel, due to his influence in government circles, accompanied Reb Michel to one of the ministers whom they felt would be instrumental in helping out. While walking on the main street of Peterburg, Reb Shmuel Michel noticed that Reb Michel's buttons were not aligned properly, for Reb Michel was dressed as he would in Lubavitch. Careful so that he not be admonished, Reb Shmuel Michel turned to him and said, "Reb Michel, we are now walking on Nevsky Prospect, the main street in Peterburg. Perhaps it would be a good idea to straighten your buttons." Reb Michel glared at him and responded curtly, "Gewalt, Reb Shmuel Michel, in was liegt man? What is your mind on?"